is The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Jeff Dowder joins us. Jeff is not only involved in education, he's a teacher, he also has a band called Dark Horse, and we wanted to talk to Jeff. He's at Venice Beach right now, and your band, I know, is going to be rehearsing for a musician's relief benefit that is going to be occurring this week at Venice, and it's to benefit what, Jeff?
The musician's relief, Phil, and thank you for having me on your program, is to benefit musicians who have fallen tragically to drug affliction and need to be basically bailed out of it, and you know, to be rehabbed up and everything. And so what we'll be doing is raising money, playing a benefit concert. It'll be starting at 4 p.m. It'll be at Newbies, which is a club right at the pier. If you care to join us afterwards, we're going to be having a drumming clinic, which I will be heading up. And that's really part that's very exciting for me.
You're going to be heading up the drumming clinic, and is this going to be not free, right?
There'll be a nominal charge of $5 for people to come in and learn the finer points of jazz drumming. Our band, Dark Horse, is probably more of a proto-rap metal band. A lot of the material that we do has to do with, you know, I'm down, everybody, you know, and kind of, I don't really want to get into a lot of what we do because we're doing our demo next week, but this is also going to help musicians really, but also help fund our demo. But I also do, to get the point, Phil, I do some jazz drumming. I'm steeped in the jazz tradition, and I think jazz drumming is something that if you can master jazz drumming, you can master any form of drumming.
Jazz drumming is what you'll be talking about this weekend.
Yeah, basically jazz drumming.
Who are the great jazz drummers?
Well, I mean, I think about Buddy Rich, you know, is a good one. Buddy Rich was
considered to be one of the best, wasn't he?
He considered himself to be the best, that's for sure. But I mean, Buddy Rich used two bass drums. He had the fastest feet in the business. He was Elvin Jones, who worked with John Coltrane. Ginger Baker, even though he's a rock drummer.
Ginger Baker played in jazz groups, though, didn't he?
Ginger Baker started out in jazz and then went on to rock. So these are the kinds of people I think are good to emulate, and I'm going to showing people.
Can you demonstrate for us jazz? Because we're all familiar with kind of the ham-fisted rock drumming.
Well, a lot of rock drummers are ham-fisted. Some have a subtlety, I think. The dude from Linkin Park, I forget his name, Joe Blow, I don't know what his name is.
Yeah, I thought it's Rob something, right? The guy from Linkin Park? What's his name, Chris? Rob, yeah.
Okay, well, he's really good, and he's not what I call ham-fisted. There's some guys that are, but anyway, jazz does take some subtlety.
Can you demonstrate for us?
I do, Phil.
Now, I asked you, so people know that we're not doing this just, it's not impromptu, I asked you to set your drum kit up.
Well, what I have, Phil, are just two tom-toms, which will demonstrate for people how the basic rhythms, the triplicates and the patterns of jazz drumming work. By the way, there's a lot of rock drummers who are jazz fans. Tommy Lee from The Crew, Joe Kramer from Smith.
Smith?
Yeah, Aerosmith.
Oh, okay.
You know, John Bonham from Lynn and
Led Zeppelin?
Yeah.
Bonham's dead?
John Bonham. I meant Joe Bonham.
Who's Joe Bonham?
Ain't he the son?
Well, the kid's name is Jason Bonham.
Jason Bonham. That's Joe or something. Bill Ward from Sabbath. And
Black Sabbath?
Right. So these are a lot of the people that enjoy drums. So here's basic jazz drumming, and for people listening, you can get a good sense of what it is. Okay, this is something that we're working on our album. It's called Freeform or Pedal to the Metal. It's just a little thing I've been working on, and I can do, you know, kind of the countdown to it. 1, 2, 3, the metal to the metal. I got my pedal. To the metal. 2, 2, 3, 4, 2. And the pedal's to the metal. And my pedal's on my metal. Pedal. And then it finishes with what's called a roll or a big roll. Pedal to the metal. And so that's it.
Now that I'm not familiar with hearing jazz outside of hearing jazz from me outside of unless it's a solo.
Yeah.
Outside of the usual company, piano, saxophone, this kind of thing. So what you were playing there sounded non-traditional?
Well, what I do a very non-traditional, non-rhythm thing. What I do is that I forgot what I was going to say, but it's based in Indian modalities. Are you familiar with Indian music, Mr. Henry?
Yeah, you know, some of it.
Right, with the sitar and anything?
Yeah.
Very non-traditional rhythms. Here, like, when I hit this one part of pedal to the metal, metal to the metal, metal pedal, and that ain't Hansel and Gretel, it's metal, wee! That is right there, what you just heard right there. Okay, did you hear that there's a subtle two beat in there? And that is from Eastern modalities that, you know, like we got do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, di, do. In India, they got, well, I don't know what, they probably see something like chong, king, pong, tong, pong, pong. But it goes chong, pong, 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 long, pong. So it doesn't. But let me just do it again. This is the song, Pelman. So I say, pedal to the metal.
Well, you mean, in other words, it's not do, re, mi, fa, sol. It's more like do, re, mi. I don't know.
Yeah, it's different. It's like, so I'll say, hey, mama, make me some Jell-O. I got my pedal to my metal. Hey, mama, check out my metal. My pedal's stuck in my metal. You see what I'm saying? So, three. And then you go two, three, two, one, two, two. Okay? And that's how you do it. And I try to tell these kids, and I get a lot of these kids in, and they all want to be the next Tommy Lee. They all want to be the next Ginger Baker. They all want to be the next Joe Bonham or whoever. Okay? And I always tell them, look, dude, you know, what, do you think you're going to come in here and tell me how to do it? I've been doing this. I've been playing bars. I've been playing all the clubs and bars since I was 13, man. Don't come in here and tell me how you're going to do it, man. And their mothers are standing there, and their mothers are always going, you know, I got to get going. You know, I got to get, you know, to an appointment or whatever. I'm like, okay, well, whatever. I can try to teach your kid. And the kids are all like, yeah, man, I got my own kit at home. I got a pearl bass drum and zildjian cymbals, all this bull crap. I don't know how to play it. So,
well, it's frustrating.
Very frustrating. So anyway, just to tell you, like in the song Pedal to the Metal, there's a line that goes, hey, mama, make me some Jell-O. I got my pedal on your metal, and that ain't Hansel. Your name's Gretel. Okay, that's how it goes. Hey, mama, make me some Jell-O. I dropped the sticks. Hold on. Hey, mama, make me some Jell-O. I got my pedal in your metal, and it's in your metal, and it's everything's fun. Okay? So, while I bang the...
Okay, some of these lyrics are a little tough for me. If you hold on for a minute, Jeff. Jeff Dowder is at the... I'm sorry, Jeff, but some of the lyrics were a little tough.
I understand that. But that's the basic trip, you know?
Okay. Very cool. Wow, it sounds like there's a...
Yeah, a seagull just flew overhead. So beautiful here. But anyway, but remember that. Make me Jell-O in a kettle while I bang the flower petal. It smells like burning metal. Metal to the pedal. Woo-hoo! Woo! So that's it. And when
is that on your demo?
That's on our demo. Yeah, it's gonna be. I think very very cool, and I'm hoping that people will pick up on it. But our Musicians Relief's this weekend. I hope people come down to it.
All right, Musicians Relief down at the beach this weekend. Jeff Dowder with a drumming clinic. And look for that song, Pedal to the Metal, on his demo. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Hello and welcome to Carnival in Rio. Rio de Janeiro, one of the largest cities in the south of America. Brazil, the southern hemisphere. It's time for Carnival. Bring the family to Rio de Janeiro. Look at the beautiful women. Look at the ultra-modern city that we have. Beautiful Rio with the mountains and the glorious sparkling ocean. Yes, Rio de Janeiro.
And there's more AIDS than you... All right, cut!
Wow, I'm trying to add libs.
No, you don't add lib anything. I'm doing a commercial for Rio de Janeiro.
Look, I studied the method, and I'm just...
I don't care about your... What do you mean you studied the method?
Well, I'm taking some classes over at the Actor's Studio, and I just think that there's an element of reality to the character that you're missing.
Oh, well, thank you, Mr. Brando. Thank you very much. I'm doing a commercial here for Rio de Janeiro. They got millions of dollars tied up in this account. They want to get a lot of Americans down there for Carnival. You know what Carnival is, don't you?
Yes, sir, I understand what it is. It's like Mardi Gras, only it's a lot of Mexicans.
It's Brazilians! It's Mardi Gras with Brazilians. Chicks and thongs, huh? What do you mean, all that AIDS?
Well, I just think there's an element...
Look. You're the actor, I'm the director. You're the robot, I'm the man that pushes the buttons. You're just a body moving in space. You have no mind. You have no mind of your own. Me, I'm the star, I direct. You just move with the words. Do you understand? Do you understand?
Yes, sir, I just thought I'd...
Never mind. All right, take two. Eddie, camera, lights. Everybody get makeup. Come on, Shirley, will you?
Well, I'm trying to get the stuff.
Don't forget about it, will you? Just give me a cup of coffee or something. All right. Ready?
I got to get my son here, Solid Speed.
All right, and action.
Come to beautiful Rio de Janeiro. Rio, home of Carnival. Forget your troubles. Leave the tension of America behind. Come to beautiful Rio, where Carnival is all around.
And where death squads shoot kids in alleys and make... All right, that day! What are you, some kind of an activist? Some kind of a guy?
No, I'm trying to...
Look, you ain't whatever you think you are. Take off the leather jacket, all right? It ain't 1955. What are you, James Dean?
I just think there's some things that should... Oh, do you really?
Well, when you get yourself $50 million, you can make your own movie. All right, let's get it set up one more time here. Otherwise, this actor is... You better get your agent. I got to call his agent. Who's your agent?
Mr. Brown.
Yeah, okay. Go.
Hello. My name is Carlos Strauser. Why? Because my father was a Nazi and he came here from...
What are you doing to me now?
No, I just read where a lot of Germans...
I know they did! Look, I'm half Jewish. Can we just ignore that? Look, come to Brazil, see all the chicks in the thongs, boom, ba boom, ba boom, ba boom. Hey, okay, go.
Come to beautiful Rio de Janeiro, where all the children have worms, and I...
Get out of here!
Senor, are you the man who's directing?
Yes, I am. Who are you?
My name is Mr. Mendoza. I'm the one who contracted for these commercials for the Brazil Chamber of Commerce. Man, you're screwing the pooch on this deal, huh? I mean, what's going on?
Look, as an actor, it's out of control, sir. I'm very, very sorry, all right?
I'm sinking a lot of bread into this thing, huh? I'm beginning to sound like Edward G. Robinson, see? I want a commercial, see? For Carnival, see? Now, what are you doing? Now, with all due respect, I don't want to tell you how to do commercials or anything, but...
Well, that's all right. We're just another actor, all right? Hey, how about you?
Me?
Yeah, you're the guy that's buying a commercial. You do it, okay? You know, you're from Brazil. You get the whole thing.
Okay, I'll try it. Come to Rio de Janeiro. My name is Pablo Mendoza. I'm the head of Brazil Chamber of Commerce. We're more than interested in having you come to Brazil. We're particularly interested in your wives and daughters. We could use them, sell them into white slavery, cut the profits, huh?
If they got a nice tail on them, we could... Music provided by Mexico. Come to Brazil. All right. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. You know that Carnival, yeah, that's like Mardi Gras, only there are more kids being gunned down. Yeah. In other words, you go to Brazil for Carnival, it's just like New Orleans, except the kids that are killed in Brazil are killed by the cops legally. Oh, my God. I wouldn't go down to Brazil for love or money. I'm sorry. Forgive me. There are places I have an interest in going to. There are many places I have a great interest in going to. I've traveled to the Far East. I have traveled to Europe. I have traveled to Eastern Europe. I have a great interest in someday going to Israel. I really do. I'd like to go to Israel. I got an interest in going to Iraq. I would have broadcast from Iraq if the NFL Alumni Association had come through. 2 weeks I was supposed to be in Iraq visiting the troops. And I can tell you the story. I got a letter from the NFL Alumni Association. A bunch of these old-timers used to be NFL players. They said, well, we were sitting around wondering what guys want to take with us. And they said, Phil Hendry, it'd be great, you know. I said, what about Jim Rome? He does sports. They go, nah, they hate his guts. I said, okay. So I never heard from these guys. Now, who's going over to Iraq and doing a show, though? I heard a guy went over there. I'm saying, how come he's going? Oh, I know who it is. I don't even want to mention his name. Some lightweight from San Diego. The home of the lightweight. Anyway, he's going over there. I guess he talked the station into paying his way, and he's going to go over. He's going to do a show. I would have loved to have done that. But it costs money, and it's the kind of bread I can't come up with. So, you know, you need the company to foot the bill. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, I tell you, we may live in America, but it doesn't necessarily mean that people who run companies here care about America. Not to the extent where you're going to actually go over and do a little morale building for the troops. Letterman went over for Christmas, didn't he? I should have insisted.
They wouldn't have done it anyway.
You're right. I got to walk through this. I demand you send me to Iraq. No. Okay, thanks. So there's a lot of places I'd like to go. One of the places that I've no interest in going to is South America, because everything I hear and read and see about that hole makes me just want to put a freaking nose peg on. You know, one of them clothes pegs on my nose? First of all, Brazil. No, excuse me. Did I get this right? That there are bands, whole armies of children roaming the streets? Now, look, I know there's poverty in America. You don't have to educate me to that. But they have like hundreds of children living in armies in the urban areas to the point where the police go around and shoot them and no one cares? Okay, that's number one.
That's where the Amazons are.
That's where the Amazon is.
That's what I said.
No, that's what you said. That's where the Amazons are.
Yeah.
Amazons are big, legendary chicks. They don't even exist, man. It's the... You know what an Amazon is, bud?
Yeah, it's Wonder Woman, stuff like that.
Well, no, it's Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman is the comic expression of the Amazon persona. You understand what I'm saying?
No, I haven't the faintest idea. You gotta start talking. Well, I want to talk about a girl have big, big can and everything like that. Brazil's a land of the Amazons. The girls are big up top.
You know, every time you open your mouth, you sink deeper and deeper into a swamp of dumb. Do you know that, man?
Russ Meyer made a movie with an Amazon.
Who? What do you mean, Russ Meyer? What do you know about Russ Meyer, man? When Russ Meyer was around, you weren't even freaking born. Amazon, the Amazon is that aspect of a woman's persona that is the strong and...
Wait, what do you mean? You're confusing me.
I'm trying to educate you, okay? Wait a minute. Yeah, David?
Why are you making the tart confused? What do you mean that aspect of a woman's persona?
I wanted to... He said that's where the Amazons were.
He's right. That's where the Amazons are.
That's the Amazon River, man. That ain't an Amazon. That's the river.
Ain't the river called the Amazon?
Yes.
Well, that's where they are.
That's what I try to tell him, Mr. Hall.
See, bud? When Mr. Smart suddenly realizes he's been out-thunk, he got nothing to say.
Yeah, that's right. I've been out-thunk.
Yeah, you got shut down.
You got slapped down.
Okay, guys, yeah, you really slapped me down, man. I realize I'm in the company of bigger brains than me.
That's right.
Yeah.
You live in America. You're an American. They live in the Amazon, so they're Amazons. Sammy?
Yeah. Do you savvy?
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, I got a phone call here from Dr. Jim Sadler. Dr. Sadler, how are you, sir?
Phil, I'm doing very well, and I wanted to call you. I was driving over to the Clipper game, and I was listening to the conversation you were having with regard to Brazil, and you are very, very right. I enjoyed your satire, number one.
You mean the bit we were doing?
About coming to Carnival, yeah. I enjoyed the satire very much, but I want to tell you that there is an element of truth in the claims made there.
Oh, I know. I mean, there's an epidemic of AIDS in Brazil that is unrestrained.
Well, let me tell you how the AIDS epidemic entered the porn business in Los Angeles. Primarily, it was because of some adult film production that was going on in Brazil, and the virus was brought back into California and became... it infected some members of the adult film business in Hollywood, and that's why it was shut down for a while.
Have they reopened? Have they restarted the?
Yeah, they have. They've allowed production to resume, but it was a very, very frightening period there for a lot of people. And this is something that cannot be taken lightly. It's still a very serious problem, and still infects a lot of people.
You mentioned they can track now exactly how the virus enters the country.
They know exactly how the AIDS virus entered the United States in 1980. We know now. We can track it down to what they call patient X, and that is the primary patient.
That's the individual who you can track all the other sex partners that person might have had.
That is absolutely correct. And I can tell you that we, as of 1985, when we were working with the French at the National Institute of Health, determined at that time that AIDS had been brought into the United States from Africa. And the story is very interesting. It's one that's known by a lot of people. I don't know how many people really believe that the events were true or not, but... the woman who brought the AIDS virus in the United States had been living in Africa with a man who had been in Africa all of his life. He was a European who basically had... His name was Tarzan. You know who he is.
Tarzan, the guy in the book?
The famous Tarzan, yeah. He gave Jane, and he got it from Cheetah. Now, he didn't give it to Jane, I'm sorry. He got it from Cheetah... And he gave it to Boy, and then Boy gave it to...
Get out of here! I'm listening to this guy like he's telling me the tree's at the Clipper game. Hey, do you know how AIDS got into America? No, Jane brought it in. She got it from She got it from Boy? And Boy got it from Tarzan, and Tarzan got it from Cheetah. Okay, great. No, sir, I'm not putting it back on the air.
How dare you hang up on me? I was just like...
Call me up and... Patient X was Jane. I'm sorry, sir, I'm not...
She was a flight attendant.
She was a flight attendant. Flew down to Africa, met Tarzan. Well, actually, she didn't meet Tarzan, she met Boy. Where'd she meet him, at the airport? Was he doing carrying bags? Who was Boy, anyway? You know, Bud, who was Boy?
I don't know, who are you talking about?
That guy, the Tarzan. You remember Tarzan?
The guy that swung on a vine?
Yeah. You remember Boy?
I don't know.
Well, anyway, he had a monkey, a woman.
Was he a black kid?
No, he wasn't a black kid because Tarzan was white. Jane was white.
Maybe she met Boy while he was selling chickens at the airport or something.
Who, Jane?
Yeah.
Yeah, you might have been selling them out of a cage or something. But the point that I'm trying to make here, you idiot, who was Boy? I mean, in other words, Tarzan, wasn't he raised by apes? Then what's Boy? I mean, what, you know?
I don't know. He met him in a jungle. Met him casually in the jungle.
Oh, okay. Just met him at a watering hole somewhere.
Yeah.
1-800-449-8. Don't you ever put a call like that through to me again.
You know Dr. Sadler. He's usually pretty good.
Maybe Boy was Tarzan's clone that he made in a bat cave or something. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Here's an email from Brendan, and he says, "Hi, Phil. A few things. I think the thing you did last week was hilarious when Bob was a drooling slob. Remember when Bob Love Songs with Bob was just a moron? He said, however, the Chinaman one, where Bob's a Chinaman, was not quite as funny. He was a Chinaman in a container. And remember, and he, in other words, he couldn't get his Bob voice back, so the producers of the show said, well, put him back in the container at San Pedro and ship him back to, and the dude writes, he says, that was a little too complicated. What was complicated about that? Anyway, he moves on to say, also, if you were at Jerry's Deli having a chocolate milkshake and a fan came up to you and said hi, what would you do? Brendan, I would say hello, and then I would deck him. Okay? I'd go, oh, hi, how are you? Boom! Another thing, Phil, in your opinion, who has the best steak in Los Angeles? I personally think the bone-in ribeye at Maestro's is the best steak I've ever had, but I want to know what you think. Brendan, I've actually been to Maestro's there in Beverly Hills, and like a lot of places in Beverly Hills, very overrated. I know I probably hurt some feelings when I say that, but it is. I was there once with a large party of people, and the clown knocked over the stuff. It sucked.
Boy, are you going to be in for it now, man. That's a very famous place.
I don't give a crap. I want value for my dollar, okay? I don't walk into restaurants where people act as if I should be grateful they let me in the door. No. I don't play that. You want to know the best steak in L.A.? The best one that I've had is that Arnie Morton's right over near KFI, right over there in Burbank. And they're very great people in there. Nice people. Service is unbelievable. And the steaks are fantastic, and they're gracious as hell. Always very attentive. Just a great place. It's right over in Burbank. If you're coming into town, folks, I highly recommend that Arnie Morton's over there. And, you know, it's not in the middle of nowhere. Burbank ain't really a whole hell of a lot to look at. Yeah, what is it? The mountains are there, and then there's that Mickey Mouse Tower, and there's a freeway, and that's it. But you go over there, that's a very good steak. What were the other joint you were talking about, Chris? Ruth's Chris. It depends. Ruth's Chris in Beverly Hills is fantastic. The Ruth's Chris, I say this with the greatest, the Ruth's Chris in the Valley is a disgrace. A disgrace. The one over in Woodland Hills, there's two rooms that are very nice, and then when they have an overflow, they have this enormous, big, cafeteria-like room that is hot, uncomfortable, tables are crammed together. You might as well be in the middle of a Perry Boys cafeteria. You might as well be in the middle of a freaking, what are those things they used, those auto mats they used to have in New York? With some old lady in a cloth coat going, can I get soup for another 25 cents? And you go over there, you pay top dollar for that? I'm sorry, I don't mean to be, you know, but you guys got a reputation, come on. What am I supposed to do, just act like everything's good? I go to a Ruth's Chris, I want some, you know, I want to be impressed. I go over there, and the place was crowded. I understand about being crowded. I get it. How about, you know, creating an atmosphere for your customers? Don't stick them in a big hall. I might as well be in an airplane hangar. Okay? And then the guy comes in, and he's got his little, what do you call it? The little, what's the thing they wear, bud?
A dress?
Not a dress. An apron.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know what you're talking about.
I'm talking about a waiter. They're wearing their apron, and they come over, and they chop up your steak, and you're supposed to, and they go, enjoy. Yeah, okay, yeah, I'll enjoy. I'll enjoy. By the way, could you turn it down to about 96 in here, if you don't mind? So, but on the upside, the Ruth's Chris in Beverly Hills is out of sight.
What about Sizzler?
It's great. Sizzler is outstanding. Very good value for the dollar, and I think the steaks are tender, moist, juicy.
What about Black Angus? Hey, Stuart, you did it again.
You like that, huh, bud?
Yeah, I like that guy in a cowboy hat.
Stuart Anderson's dad, a good place to meet women on, like, say, a Thursday night at about, I don't know, 8:30. What do you mean, Stuart? No, come on. Guy asked me. All right, and then it says, lastly, I noticed in your photo album you were only wearing a tie in two different events, and both times you're wearing the same tie. One event is 2001, the other event is 2004. I like your simple approach to fashion. Thanks for the excellent humor, Brendan. Thank you, Brendan, and we're very grateful that our show gives you a reason to live. Well, you know, I do not have a whole lot of in the way of ties, so I suppose I was wearing the same thing. There's two pictures on my website of me. One is in Key West, and the other I'm standing here with Ann Coulter. It's the same shirt. In fact, I hadn't changed my clothes from April of that year until she came here in August. So I'd been sleeping in the same pair of pants and shirt for 4 months, and thank you so very deeply for your email, Brendan. Our email address is phs@philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And now it's time for the Johnny Rotten Show from London. From London, it's Johnny Rotten.
All this tsunami talk is boring. It's all the same news all the time. It's about the boring tsunami. I'm a black bastard, and I'm drowning. Getting so sick and tired of this. It's boring. Boring, boring, boring. Now, I'm going to have take some phone calls from people and see if you can come up with a topic that's not going to bore me to death. No.
Hiya, Johnny.
Right, who's calling, please?
Yes, my name is Bert Salinger, and I'm in Chicago. And I'm listening to your broadcast. I thought I'd take a crack at,
You want to take a peek at my crack? Is that what you said?
No. I want to take a crack at maybe not boring you. And
you're boring me already, you bastard! I see another phone call. Hello?
Hi, is this Johnny Rotten?
Yes, it's Johnny Rotten already. Well, try not to bore me.
Well, I wanted to discuss the inaugural prayer. I think that...
You bore me! The rest of time is there. All right, let's see now. Let's check it out here. Hello.
Oh, Johnny, it's great listening to your program. I got to send Miss Not Boring my nose goblin collection. Can I send you a photo?
You bastard! Right, I don't care anymore. I hate all of you. I hate all of you. I hope you all die. I hope you all die painfully in a bloody motor car accident out on the M6. Alright? I hate you all. I'm going to watch TV.
Hello, I'm Mr. Red.
This is good here. This is good. I like this.
A horse is a horse. And I are just
another. Johnny Rotten's Wardrobe by Harrison Frank. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Our email address, phs@philhendryshow.com. And tomorrow is our all-request show. Now, what that is basically you call on the phone. A telephone is something that you pick up, and you push either buttons, or if you have the old rotary style, those of you who are in our upper 75 demographic, in other words, those of you listening on most of our AM stations, why, then you would Use your rotary phone, call, and request a bit that you've heard on our show that you'd like to hear again. If you're a new listener to The Phil Hendry Show, I suggest you go to our website, www.philhendryshow.com, and read up on us a little bit, because as the man said in the movie Chinatown, you may think you know what's going on, but you don't. Remember when John Huston said that to Jack Nicholson? You may think you know, Mr. Getz, but you don't. This is not like any show you've ever heard, and I can tell you, the email from the lady I got today who said, those people are so stupid that call your show, and those guests, I was just, you know, I wanted to email, and they wanted to get a tape of the bit, and I said, no, I will not send you any tape of any bit. You have to go to my website and read up about our show, and then only if you buy a backstage pass will you get, you know, any bit of mine, especially you. You know what I'm saying? In other words, somebody who writes me a letter and says, you know, your show is really strange. Can I get a bit? Yeah, you can get a tape of the bit if you pay for it. I'm not giving, I ain't, like I said, I sure as hell ain't living on my good looks. So if you go to the website, www.philhendryshow.com, it'll tell you everything you need to know about our radio show. Now, I am also going to tell you that our souvenir shop is chock full of wonderful things, but the most important thing there is our Best Of CD. All the money that we raise from the sale of the Best of the Phil Hendry Show 2004 CD goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. And what are you doing with that teddy bear now, bud?
I drilled a hole in it again. And
will you quit drilling holes in the Vermont teddy bear?
I'm not doing it for... You think I'm doing it for a sick reason.
Well, then why would you drill a hole in it?
Just to see what's inside.
Are you a freaking retard, man? What are you drilling a hole in a freaking... Don't you realize that's a sponsor of mine?
I know. I wanted to look at it. I need to know about it if it's a sponsor.
You know what I think you are? A freaking pervert. You want to know that?
How dare you?
Well, then why are you making holes in a Vermont teddy bear?
It's all fluffy inside. There's no blood is all I wanted to say.
Oh, well, gee, thanks a lot, man. Hey, folks, if you cut open your Vermont teddy bear, there's no blood. It's all fluffy inside. Thanks a lot, bud. Hey.
You're so sarcastic.
Well, why not, you idiot? Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.